about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. Tuesday, it's already Tuesday. All right, let's check it out. Temperatures, looks like, Eric, you're the hottest spot in the state right now at 87 degrees. What's crazy is at Cherokee, which is about an hour and a half drive away maybe, is 31 degrees cooler. 56 degrees at Cherokee, 81 at Slapout, 81 at Putnam, 80 degrees at Altus, and out here in the panhandle of Texas, we got 82 at Odell, 87 at Wellington. Miami, you're 86, and Palador Reservoir, 78 degrees. So anyway, today is the Stockman Veterinary Clinic happy hour, all hour. Got more on them coming up here shortly. Let's see what's happening with the world in ag right here in the United States. Grain and soybean futures were lower in overnight trading as the U.S. harvest heads towards the finish line. And weather reports call for rainfall in parts of South America. About 81% of the U.S. corn crop has been harvested as of Sunday, up from 71% a week earlier and ahead of the prior five-year average of 77%, according to the USDA. Soybean collection was 91% finished versus 85% 7 days earlier, and average has been around 86%, so it's a little bit ahead too. 90% of the winter wheat in the U.S. was planted at the start of the week, up from 84% a week earlier and just ahead of the 89% average. About 75% of the crop has emerged versus 64% 7 days earlier. Half of the crop was in good or excellent condition as of this last Sunday, up from 47% a week earlier and well ahead of the 30% that earned top ratings at this point last year. We all remember what happened last year. Prices were also pressured overnight as rain is expected in parts of Brazil and Argentina that have been dry for several weeks. Light rain is forecast this week for parts of some states, including the southern Rio Grande do Sul in Brazil, and I said Don Kinley, an ag meteorologist for Maxar. In Argentina, precipitation is forecast for lots of states, the Santa Fe, the Entre Rios, and the northern and eastern parts of Buenos Aires, the forecaster said. Rain should ease dryness in parts of the country. Dryness will continue in northwestern Cordoba and the southern part of Buenos Aires, however you say that. Buenos Aires, there we go. Corn for December delivery fell 4.5 cents to 4.72¾ cents a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Wheat futures for December delivery dropped 4 cents to $5.71¾ a bushel overnight, and Kansas City futures lost 6¼ to $6.39½ a bushel. Soybean futures for January delivery fell 4¾ cents to $13.59¼ a bushel. Soy meal was down 10 cents to $437.40 a short ton, and soy oil lost 0.67 cents to 50.13 cents a pound. Weekly inspections of wheat for export plunged while corn assessments was narrowly lower, according to data from the United States Department of Agriculture. Wheat inspections dropped to 71,608 metric tons in the 7 days it ended on November 2nd, the agency said in a report. That's down from 198,000 tons the previous week, quite a bit, and 181,989 tons at this same point last year. Examinations of corn for offshore delivery declined to 535,000 metric tons, and that's down from 540,000 tons a year earlier, Still, that was well above the 254,000 tons assessed during the same week in 2022. Well, that just don't make no sense. You said, you know, I bet that 540,000 tons was last week or the week earlier, and now the 254 was a year ago. How's that? Soybean inspections rose week to week to 2.09 million tons, up from 2.05, the government said. Last week's total was down from the 2.61 million tons assessed a year earlier. See, now that makes sense. Since the start of the wheat marketing year on June 1st, the USDA has inspected 7.19 million tons for offshore delivery, down from 9.83 million during the same time frame last year. Corn inspection since the start of the grain marketing year on September 1st is at 5.49 million tons, and that's up from the 4.47 million tons a year earlier. Soybean assessments since the beginning of September now stand at 12.2 million versus 12.8 million same time last year. Conditions are ripe for wildfires in part of the southern plains today amid strong winds and low humidity, according to the National Weather Service. Winds in the Texas Panhandle, northwestern New Mexico, and southeastern Oklahoma, southeastern Colorado, and I'm going to throw the Panhandle of Oklahoma in there because that they all come together right there, are forecast to be sustained from 20 to 25 miles an hour with gusts up to 40, according to the National Weather Service. Humidity will drop as low as 10%. This is pretty bad. With very dry vegetation, gusty winds, and very low humidity, elevated to critical fire weather conditions are expected this afternoon. Strong winds may also lead to wildfires in parts of northwestern Iowa, northeastern Nebraska, and southeastern South Dakota. Winds will reach 40 miles an hour in some of those counties about right now or a little bit later this afternoon, and the winds may produce areas of elevated fire danger, although they could be blasted by cooler temperatures settling in the region here coming up, so it might not be quite as bad. So there you have it. How about that? You got that going on. Nothing major going on. I think there's some guys wrapping up some peanut harvest. I know my man DH down at Hobart, he started in on our corn yesterday. He's a little over halfway done. He should get done today with that. Not looking too bad. Hog damage was severe, I will tell you that. And the hogs are, I know I harp on the hogs deals, but I don't think unless you farm and ranch, you really understand what the damage hogs can do. And I know we got some hobby and commercial hog hunters out there, and I'm sorry if I offend any of you with this talk, but the hog problem is getting completely out of hand. My neighbor up the river yesterday, north of me towards Sayre, has 87 on his trail cam. I had one in the garden Sunday, big one, found tracks yesterday in another field. And I'm going to go out on a limb and just guesstimate what he's going to finish up on today with our cornfield down by Granite, by the river, down by the lake. And I'm going to tell you, last year, the hogs cost us a minimum of 100 bushels per acre harvest yield. I know this for a fact, because when we got in there and did the first truckload, there was a little bit of deer and hog damage, not much. And then we had to shut down because of weather conditions. And then 7 or 8 days later, when we got back in there, it went from a 200 bushel yield to a 75 bushel yield. Yesterday, it's going to be a little better than last year, but not. And the Oklahoma Department of Agriculture has been trying to help us and get those hogs along the river under control down in there, but it's still. So then what I did last spring with my corn planting up around Carter and all this stuff, like I said, and I've told people this before in the last month or two, but I'm considered a small farmer, very small, 240 acres of farmland. So that's small nowadays. And in the last 18 months, I've had over $50,000 damage done to my crops. So think about that. Think of what the big farmers are doing. And I know some people go, well, build them high fences around there. Yeah, the high fences will help you 100% with deer. If you have a hog problem in that area, it's not going to shut those hogs down unless you bury wire under the ground, stuff like that. And it costs money. I don't have the money to build a high fence. It costs $10,000-$15,000 a quarter or more. I don't have the money to do that. So what do? You guys tell me. So anyway, I think it's World War III on feral hogs, all I can tell you. And I'm going forward with it. So, all right, let's take a break. And when we come, a Stockman's Veterinary Clinic break, when we come back, we'll get an update on the current market and some livestock. And maybe if I can get a hold of the man himself from the Elk City and the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, he's traveling, doesn't know if he's going to have phone signal, so we're going to try him and see if he's got a phone signal. Brandon Hickey may or may not be on here when we come back from this break.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
When they call you, they want you to answer the phone, and whether it's Sunday, Saturday, or Monday, they also want customer service. Do what you say you're going to do. I mean, because when they're in a bind, they're in a bind. You want that company to think of you first. Oh, we need this. Well, call Brock. You call me. We'll get it taken care of. You needed a hose like yesterday. We will stop what we're doing. And if we got to go to our Oklahoma City shop and get it, we'll do that. And I've done that for a lot of my customers. If they call me, they're expecting me to get whatever task done. To a farmer, tractor, combine, gets them up and running. He's back in the field, makes some money. Guy in the oil field, their piece of equipment's running again. That makes some money. Solves that problem. I'm Brock Kalk, and my company is American Hose and Supply. Come by and see us at 2111 South Main, Elk City, Oklahoma, in Camrock Building next to Fred's, or call me at 580-821-4413. 821-4413.
SEI Agritech excited to announce construction is beginning at the SEI Agritech Center in Elk City for their new product line. They'll be blending LNC feed with all the feed rations that you've come to know and trust. This will be the only LNC blending facility in the area. SEI Agritech in Elk City will be opening their new facility in the near future at their current location at 1400 South Randall in Elk City. For more information, you can give Kent a call at 580-225-0317.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
You've heard us talking about the 30-year-old ratchet that Napa replaced, no questions asked. A customer had a question about that particular transaction and that particular policy of replacing tools regardless of age. He walked into the Elk City Napa store and asked, "Do you guys really do that?" And the answer was, "We replaced two last week."
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Hey, Today in Ag listeners, This is Jared Clark with Southstar JCB. We carry a variety of wheel loaders, excavators, telehandlers, skid steers, and several other types of equipment. Please give me a call at 469-325-7466. That's 469-325-7466. Check us out on the web, southstartxjcb.com. That's southstartxjcb.com. I'd love to sell you one. Thank you and God bless you.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, I got him on the phone. But first, Dozer, out here in the panhandle, 91 degrees, heat index of 86. Who thought you'd be talking about a heat index in November? Humidity 10%, dew points 27, winds are out of the southwest at 16 miles an hour. Peak wind gusts so far today, 22 miles an hour. No rainfall so far this month, no red flag, no sub-freezing minutes, none of that going on today. 8-inch soil temperature has warmed up. I looked at it yesterday. It was 56. It's already back up at 61 degrees. Well, on the phone with me is Mr. Brandon Hickey, the man in charge of the Elk City Livestock and the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. And you're traveling, and thanks for taking time to join us today on Today in Ag.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
All right. What's man, you had some awesome sales. Let's start with Elk City. Did I already lose you?
Yeah, you there?
Yeah, I got you now.
Okay. Let's start with, and then you're gone.
No, let's start with Elk City. I said you had two awesome sales.
Oh, we did. Big numbers. Of course, first Friday in November is always our special wing calf sale, so we usually expect big numbers from that. And then from being a little bit lighter with the rain and the mud previous week, we knew that was going to up our numbers a little bit, and so we figured we was going to probably be somewhere around that 2,700-2,800 this week. And sure enough, I think we did 2,765, but the market was absolutely on fire. I knew this was maybe coming, but I expected it to maybe take a little bit more time, or you know, to be a little bit more of a slow upswing. But man, it really jumped. We had lots of buyers in the barn, lots of interest on all weights and classes. But as we've talked about before, the biggest jump, the biggest amount of buyers that was after those three and four weight cattle, kind of like we've been expecting to happen. And boy, it really. It showed up a little bit the previous Friday, but man, it really showed up this Friday. They come to town to get them, and they were more than willing to fight them.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, one of them, for example, some 429 weights, for example, out of Willow, 348. Get you some.
Yeah, you know, that's heavy three weight cattle all the way up there around that 376. It was amazing, and it was good heifer market too. Of course, there's still quite a spread between the heifers and steers, but you know, we still got up there in those high end 280s on those three weight heifers, 270s on the four weight heifers. So it was it was definitely a sight to behold. And with the big numbers, we finished just a little bit after midnight there Friday. And I've only seen this one other time in my 15 years of owning a sale barn, but the market got higher after 10 o'clock, from 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock. The market actually got higher than it was had been all day on nearly all weight classes.
Why is that? Some buyers didn't get their orders filled, or there's some good cattle coming in there?
I think the guys was, trying to get their loads filled out. And you know, we had lots of local action, and they're always good to be in on the really good front end cattle. And we had some regional buyers in there that were sure enough wanting to fill out truckloads, and it made for some good combinations of good competition on them cattle to see if they're, you know, are they going to stay local, or are they going to go to the regional guys, filling out their truckloads. So it was a good situation Friday. It was one of those times that you sure did not mind being at the end of the sale late at night this that Friday night.
Wow, that's awesome. I mean, well, that's crazy. How's that? Which one is it? Is it awesome or crazy, Brandon?
It's both. It's both.
Yeah, because I'd never heard that before. So anyway, and then is it still a is it still a good market for people looking for some 5 and 6 weight heifers to get ready next spring to breed them for some replacements?
Well, we're still in a good price level, I think, for them. But the hole that we've been talking about the last 3 weeks, I think you and I've been kind of talking about that, and it pretty well got filled up this week. You know, being able to buy those heifers in between that $1,200 to $1,300 level disappeared this week. You know, you're going to be back up there now in that $1,300 to $1,500 level. Them really good front end 5 and 6 weight heifers. The whole disappeared this week, and I don't think it was necessarily replacement heifer buyers in there buying them. It was just guys that looking at maybe having some pasture and wanting some good cattle to turn out on some wheat pasture here in another week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
Yeah, there's some people turned out already, not a whole lot, but it's growing. If we get another shower Thursday like they're talking about, oh my goodness, it'll go crazy, and there's no extreme cold weather in the forecast at all as of right now. You know, weather changes every day, but you know, I thought about it, if I just get some 5 and 6 weights and feed them, and then maybe breed them next spring or early summer, and then maybe sell them that way. You know, there's all kinds of ideals out there to do.
Oh absolutely. You know, the heifer retention has not started at all. The herd expansion isn't even on anybody's radar really yet. You know, when it's going to expand these high prices out for another year or so until we finally get into a mode that they start saving back some of these heifers, but it sure hasn't happened yet. And I think we're getting late enough in the year that we're probably only going to hold back enough heifers to replace the cows that we're pulling out. I don't think we're going to see an expansion at this point in time in these replacement heifers being bought and kept for this year anyway.
Yeah, and it's going to be. But before we get to the Western Oklahoma livestock auction, I got a question. I keep seeing it pop up about once, 2, 3 times a week. And do you think this has the chance of what we are seeing right now in the cattle market at carrying over all the way into 2025?
Yeah, I think we're at that. I think we, in order for it not to, we would have needed to see a lot of heifers being kept retained and put in the cow herd this fall, and we're not seeing that. So yeah, I think this definitely pushes it into 2025, possibly even into the first half of 2026. That I think we could possibly see this pushing it into on the high price.
So is that your personal or professional opinion?
That is my personal, because I'm not professional at anything.
Western Oklahoma, you had over 1,600 head there, and you had a late evening there, because I got your text message last night. But anyway, what's looks like you had a good run there too.
We did more cattle than we was expecting. I was only expecting maybe 1,200 or 1,500. We ended up with almost 1,700. And a lot of really good calves, a lot of good strings of calves. Really only had one really nice string of true yearlings, but oh my gosh, did they bring somebody now that, weighed right at 700 pounds at 259. I mean, that was a good ticket.
I see that now.
Ready cattle.
Yeah.
And that carried over. The calf deal was good. We had lots of really good wing calves, lots of good home-raised native calves coming from the Canute area there. Had several different families that had their home-raised calves in there, and it was a really good market on them. Most of those calves kind of weaned 60 to as much as 90 days. Fancy, good, high-quality calves, good market on them. Not as many of the lightweight calves that are ready to go back to weed as what we saw at Elk City on Friday, but really nice run of cattle, really good quality, a lot of good family operations in there by name.
Yeah, the ones you were talking about, the 117 head of yearlings that weighed 697 basically, yeah, that was awesome. And then heck, right above it there was 49 from Cheyenne weighing 695 that were weaned. I did notice on both of your reports I seen more weaned calves wrote down than I've been seeing in a while, so that's a good thing.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we're getting into that time of the year with some of them guys that, you know, wean their cattle in August, September, early October, that tell them, you know, we're getting to the time that it's time for them to, if they don't have wheat pasture, to turn them, put them on themselves, that they're going to start marketing those cattle. And, you know, we're seeing that happen, and a lot more of those weaned cattle coming into town. And you'll kind of continue to see that for the next couple of weeks, see a lot of weaned cattle, not as many light cattle to be had, more of the weaned 5 and 6 weight cattle as we get into the light next couple of weeks. And once we get past Thanksgiving, well, that'll flip-flop back a little bit where you'll start seeing some more lightweight cattle and not as many weaned cattle typically.
You got a weaned sale coming up at Clinton not too long far away, don't you?
We do, the Monday before Thanksgiving. We've got a big weaned calf sale coming up there on the 20th. We've got already consigned to that. We're getting between 1,200 and 1,500 heads. They'll weigh from the light fours to the light sevens, what I've got on consignment already. Be some really big, nice strings of calves on that deal. Probably 60% heifers, 40% steers so far in that deal. But everything I've got so far in that sale is, they're not just 60 days weaned, they're long time weaned. They're little old light yearlings is what they're going to be. They're going to be 120 or better days weaned.
The best kind.
One gentleman that puts, you know, buys these little things, puts them together, weighing them in the ones, twos, threes, and keeps them a full 120 days, and you know, brings them back, and they'll be weighing from the fours to the sevens. And I mean, good, hard, ready to go to work kind of yearlings.
Well, if we get that rain Thursday, if we get any rain Thursday, and the weather stays decently mild like it has been, I mean, yesterday, today, and tomorrow's way out of character for Western Oklahoma, but I see some wheat pasture coming on pretty strong.
Oh, yeah. You know, this sunshine and this temperature that we've got today, you can almost see that stuff growing. I mean, that little wheat is liking this weather with the moisture that it had there a week and a half ago. It's got a dose of moisture, nutrients. Now it's getting the sunshine, and you just almost see it growing out there right now.
You almost sound like an agronomist. So anyway, well, Brandon, anything coming up at Elk City already on the books you want to tell everybody about before we have to go?
Got lots of good calves already on consignment. Charlie Ranch is going to start in there this week with their steer calves. We've had people asking me about that for several weeks. They sold the majority of their heifers a month or so ago, and they're going to start this week with their steer calves. And Brian Troxel from over at Pampa is going to have another 100 calves, kind of match what he had there this week, kind of be 3 and 4 weight black calves. And just got lots of really nice string home-raised calves again this week coming in. We're expecting probably right around that 2,000. We won't be as big as we were last week, but I think we'll probably be right around that 2,000 again. And the vast majority of it will be home-raised cattle. We've got some weaned cattle and a lot of really good home-raised unweaned cattle or fresh weaned cattle coming in this week to Elk City.
Yeah, I know when I went by there after the show last Friday on my way to, what was I doing? Oh, I had to get down to sew some stuff. And when I went by there, I was talking to somebody on the phone, and I looked over there in the parking lot, and I thought, holy moly, it's a full house. So it was good.
It was
good. Well, you be safe, and thank you again for joining us today. And good luck Friday.
All right, sounds great. Thank you, Jimmy.
All right, thank you. That's Mr. Brandon Hickey, Big Dog at the Elk City Sale Barn coming up this Friday. Starts at, I don't even remember what time it is. Cow sale first, I know that much. I don't keep up with times anymore. Well, let's go ahead and take another Stockman's Veterinary Clinic break. And when I come back, we just got more ag to talk about. Be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We're open on Saturdays from 9 to noon, full service lobby. We have new accounts there, personal bankers. We have loan guys there. We have tellers. You can do anything you need to do on a Saturday in the lobby. It helps a lot of people who are out of town that need to come do banking business, or people that work Monday through Friday and can't get in with our hours. They can come on a Saturday. That's one of the things that makes us different. I'm Elizabeth Mosley, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, November 6th. 1,676 head were sold. 8 head of steers at 523 brought 300. 13 at 585 brought 227. 6 at 607 brought 221. 4 at 684 brought 211. 18 at 729 brought 237. 33 at 735 brought 246. 14 at 741 brought 200. 7 head of heifers at 451 brought 255. 3 at 530 brought 235. 10 at 551 brought 235. 13 at 603 brought 219. 8 at 656 brought 229. 17 at 743 brought 227. Butcher cows were 53 to 119. Butcher bulls brought 1 to 136. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sell every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
You know, I think the best advice that I could give a young couple is to go sit down and talk to an insurance agent. I see a lot of young couples, they're just getting online. I mean, they're just clicking the button and clicking what's cheap. And, well, if I click this, it makes it a little cheaper. But if I click that, it makes it go up. Well, there's a reason why it goes up. You need to know what you're paying for. And if you're paying for it, you need to make sure you've got the right coverage. You know, another piece of advice I would give is when you go in and talk to that agent, you need to discuss getting some life insurance. It doesn't have to be me. Any agent can help with that. But a young couple, you need to go in and sit down and talk to someone and understand what you're doing. You know, a term policy on a younger couple, it's a whole lot less expensive than what people think. And the younger you buy it, the cheaper it is. It's worth finding out how minimal that expense is, because it's life-changing if it's needed. That would be my best advice.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? High cotton. It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
At Lone Star Gin, 4.5 miles south of Pampa, Texas on Highway 70, our mission is to provide superior customer service to our producers while getting their cotton ginned in a timely manner. We possess 120-plus bale-per-hour capacity, high-tech moisture systems, on-site sampling, and we move cotton in a timely manner from the field to the gin. With excellent hands-on marketing, our gin is designed to maximize profits for our farmers. Visit us at www.lonestargin.com or give us a call, 806-665-0677.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Let's check out some ag weather up north. Let's see. Let's go with Cherokee. Seems they're the coldest spot in the state, and Eric is the hot spot. Right now at Cherokee, it's 58 degrees. Dew point's 57. Humidity's 96. So I'm taking a day out of fog up there. Wind's calm. 24-hour rainfall, 0.02. 10-day rain total, 0.55. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 57 degrees. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water, 0.6. Sunset, 5:32. Mostly sunny, 79 today. Gonna have to hurry. Mostly clear tonight, 46. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 74 with north winds 6 to 15 miles an hour. All right. One thing I got to clear up here. I received a few texts on the text line. And anyway, this is just opinion. This here is not my opinion. I'm going to read what this guy is saying. And I'm not going to say whether I agree or disagree with him. It's just one of those things. He says, I am a small farmer, as well as I'm fortunate enough that pigs have not moved into my area yet, although I'm sure it won't be many more years until they do. I've talked to several farmers that do have pig issues about going out and shooting some pigs for them, and almost every one of them now want to charge people to come in and shoot pigs. I'm not going to pay these people to help them solve their problem. That is a very good quote from you, sir, and that's the deal. Another guy that I know really well from up in Roger Mills County, he even, you know, he makes a living a little bit off the hog hunting stuff, but he said hobby hunting or hunting hogs, feral hogs, and farmland don't mix. I think if I probably said that wrong, but anyway, you're right, because here's the deal, and this is my opinion, and hogs on the grasslands, whatever the land, it's your land, you do whatever you want with it, okay? That's the way it is. You own the land, you can do with it. But here's the problem. As a farmer with farmland, people, I'm talking about all farmers in general that have feral hog problems. You know, feral hog problem is not a game animal. It's year-round. Get them. I don't even know that you got to have a license to hunt them. The problem is we are now up to 1.2 million hogs, the population in Oklahoma, and it ain't getting any better. Believe me, when I say this, I'm a hunter. I love to hunt deer. I love to hunt quail. I love to hunt all this stuff and all this deal. But on the flip side of me being a hunter, I'm a farmer, and I have crops. And these guys that not necessarily, I'm just going to say an example out there. I'm not saying it's just me. But when you got people on one side or both sides or four sides of you that like to hunt hogs one at a time with a rifle or the dogs or whatever, that's great. It's their business. But anyway, and then you got this farmer right in the middle of this that's getting all the damage. He's feeding the hogs that you guys are hunting. Nobody's going to pay him or reimburse him for this hog damage. This is not an insurance deal. It doesn't work that way. Are you going to share some of the money that you make off having commercial hog hunts on your property or a lease on there with this farmer to help him offset some of his damage? No, you're not. Maybe there's that one out there, but I doubt it very seriously that anybody's going to share any of their hunting money that you receive from hunters with the farmer next door that had all the damage. Because I've been told by me, you're on your own, buddy. Sorry. You know, that's what ticks me off. So anyway, it's just that's the rant of the day. We'll move on, get off the hog deal, and see what we got going here with some current markets, because it just fires me up. Anyway, corn right now, December 469, down 7 today. March is 484. November is 1349. January is 1360. December 446.40. January's 437.70 on soybean meal. That's up $7.30 nicely. March 429.60. Soybean oil, December 49.53, down a little over a penny and a quarter to be exact. January's 49.17. Hard red winter wheat is down 13 today. Man, these markets are just crazy. They'll gain some, get back to looking good, and then all of a sudden something crazy will be announced over social media and the market crashes again. December hard red winter wheat 632, down 13 cents today. March is 643 and May is 651. Cotton is down again today. This keeps on going backwards here. December is 76.77. It is flash, sorry, 76.73 now. March is 79.57 and May is 80.64. Sugar, it was up to 28 cents yesterday, but sugardaddy.com over at Dale High, you're still in the You're still making money, even though it's down about a half a cent today at 27.59 for March sugar number 11. West Texas Intermediate crude oil is down 283 today. It's at 77.99 for December. January 77.81. February is 77.55. Natural gas down also. December's 315. January's 347. February is 343. Live cattle is down. I think everything's down today except for soy meal and the NASDAQ and the Dow and the S&P. How about that? Even, well, let me take it back. Lean hogs just went in the green. December live cattle are down $2.25 today for at $1.7907. February's 178.67. April's 181 even. Feeder cattle for November, 232.50, down $4.67. January's 231.37, down over $5. And March is 234.37, down $4.72. And April's 238.40, down $4.45. Lean hogs are up today. Not much, but they're in the green. They're up 50 cents for December. 72.90. February is up 42 cents at 76.37. April's 81.42, up 17 cents. And there you have it. The Dow is up 56. The S&P is up 15.25. And the NASDAQ is up 168.75. So there you go. All right. We'll get back. Today is Hay Day Tuesday. We'll see if we can get some hay prices in before the end of the show. Let's take a Stockman's Veterinary Clinic break and be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service, 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
You worked and you sweat and you worried for months over your crop. So why are you giving away part of the profit to someone else? Cut out the middleman. Keep your grain on your farm. Keep your money for yourself. A grain bin on your farm will never depreciate as long as you use it. And it'll make you as much money as you want it to make. Store your own grain in your own bin. Wall Bin Hoppers. Take a look at their website, wallequip.com. Wallequip.com. You did all the work. You should keep all the profit.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts, from gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bats. Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 for all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Whether you graze livestock or produce hay from perennial forages, the Night Latch Group helps farmers and ranchers manage production risk by utilizing the federal crop insurance programs. The Pasture Range and Forage Rainfall Insurance Program signups for the 24 calendar year are now till December 1st. PRF provides needed cash flow and pays producers during periods of below average rainfall. Insure your operation against lack of rainfall with no money up front. Hold on to your ag investment with the Night Latch Group, 580-334-7995. Remember, even wet years have dry spells.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Man, I stirred up the text line. Anyway, interesting day. And I apologize if I offend anybody either. And I don't mean to offend anybody. So anyway, we'll get on with this. Let's go with Eric. The hot spot with the Hobart Farm and Garden ag weather. Currently at Eric is 90 degrees compared to 59 at Cherokee. 86 is what it feels like. The dew point's 33. The humidity's 13%. Southwest winds 13 miles an hour. Wind gusts 20 up to 21. 24-hour rainfall 0. 10-day 0.16 inches. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature 58 degrees. And sunrise, it was at 7:05 this morning. Sunset 5:40 this evening. 89 degrees today for a high. They already beat that. Tonight 52 with south winds 10 to 12 miles an hour. And tomorrow another repeat, west winds up to 18 miles an hour, 88 for the high. So anyway, we got that. Got a person text in and say, hey Jimmy, why doesn't the farmer in the middle have paid hunts, and then maybe he could recoup some of his losses for damage instead of just fattening them up free for just an ideal. Here's the deal. The best ways, I'm not saying it's the only way, the best ways to deal with feral hogs are trapping and helicopters. If you go out, got these paid hunts, these guys come out and they want to pay $200, $500, whatever for one hog, and they're after that hog with the big tusk. They shoot at them, they scatter, the hogs move somewhere else for a couple weeks, and then they'll be back. It's just, if you're going to get rid of your feral hog problem, you gotta trap and helicopter them. The hobby hunting with the dogs and the infrared and all that stuff going on, you know, it gets some, don't get me wrong, they get some, but they just keep them scattered. The deal down there, like at Granite, is they came in and flew about 6 months ago where they could fly on that Lugard Lake WMA and had all kinds of landowner permission to fly in there. They got rid of 400 or 500 hogs in there. There was some areas they couldn't fly, and then they come back in on the west side of the river, and the hunters on the west side of the river have pushed them over to the east side of the river where there's more food abundant over there. So they're just hanging out over there now. And of course the WMA is closed for any hog trapping or helicopter flights because it's hunting season now, bow season and muzzleloader and all that stuff going on. So it's just a mess. The whole thing's just a mess. And I see what you're saying, but I have $50,000 in loss in the last year and a half, 18 months. How many hogs would that take to hog hunters to take to pay for that? So anyway, here we go. On to the next thing. GMOs. There's a bunch of myths about GMOs. And here's an article that's debunked some of those. You guys ready? GMOs are not now planted in 28 countries on 444 million acres around the world. But why? Of course, there's a lot of misinformation on the internet with many different topics in life. Thanks to many lobbyist groups, the topic of GMOs has become riddled with misinformation that stems vastly from people who never farmed a day in their life. So why listen to the people who don't have firsthand knowledge over actual farmers themselves? These are the same people that go to Yellowstone and pet the buffaloes. Anyway, that would be like going to your auto mechanic to clean your teeth or asking a medical doctor to fix the engine in your car. Everyone has a specialty in life, and it's important to connect with those of us who devote our entire lives and careers to this. On our farm, we grow several different types of crops, which do include GMO corn and soybeans. If 90% or even 95% of certain crop farmers are choosing to grow GMOs, there must be a reason for it, which brings me to the first point. Myth number one, farmers are forced to grow GMOs. No, we aren't forced to. No, the government doesn't pay us to. We grow them because we want them, and they help us, you, and the planet. Since the inception of certain GMO crops, insecticide spray is down 85%, while overall pesticide spray is down 37%. Crop yields are up on an average of 21%. If farmers can produce more crops on less land while using fewer inputs, less pesticides, fuel, etc., we're going to jump on it. So please allow farmers to do their jobs. How's that? That's only myth number one. We're just getting fired up now. So myth number two, they aren't safe and aren't well tested. Blatantly false. GMOs are the most regulated and tested crops in plant breeding history and are proven safe by nearly every major food safety authority in the world. There's no peer review evidence that show GMOs are harmful, but there is peer review evidence that they are safe. And this is evidence can be found in links everywhere. The facts just cannot be denied. Myth number three, they are drenched in toxic herbicides and Roundup is the devil. Not at all. As farmers, we are licensed and trained in proper application of any crop protectant products, also known as pesticides, and are well aware of safe application and handling. And let me just tell you, compare Roundup to the products farmer had access back in the 60s and 70s, and if you're a baby boomer, you're still alive today and you got all your teeth and you might be missing a finger or toe, but that wasn't from Roundup breeding or any of that stuff going on there. There's a part of the reason why it is so popular. With the LD50 value of 5,600 milligrams, it's actually less toxic than table salt available at your local Walmart. How about that? Nothing is perfect, but they are all important tools in feeding 9 billion people. Will never be perfect, as with anything, and the dose made the poison. Number four, they cause cancer. Again, they're the most tested plant breeding method in the history, and there's zero peer review evidence of this. The WHO, World Health Organization, did one point claim that Roundup has they measure hazards, not risk. There you go. Myth number six, they cause farmers in India to commit suicide. No, debunked numerous times. Again, farmers have a choice. If a farmer doesn't want to plant GMO, they don't have to. Number six, Monsanto is a greedy company that has control over farmers. No, they're not. Monsanto is a big company, just like Apple. Did they force you to buy that Apple phone you got in your hand? Nope, sure didn't. They're just a big company, and people want to use their stuff. That's all there is to it. Number seven, GMOs are patented, and farmers are not allowed to save seed. No, not true. Anyway, first of all, many different crops do hold patents, including non-GMO and organic seeds. This is just like any other type of business. So, yes, you can get some seeds, and you got to give them back to them, and you're not be able to do all that stuff, but that's a whole different ballgame. It ain't got nothing to do with GMOs. GMOs don't germinate the following years because of Terminator technology. It is true that Terminator gene was developed, but it has never been commercially available. So look up volunteer corn on the internet. It's a thing. This is just another myth. I could go on and on, but this, you should get the point. As farmers, we really hope that people actually come to us and learn from us. If you ever find yourself reading something negative and scary about GMOs online and don't listen to the president's wife down in Mexico, you'll be just fine. Check the source and the author. Are they trying to sell you something? Who is the author? What is their background? Have they ever been on a farm? If you haven't any questions, seek out your favorite farmer. We are always here to help decipher fact from fiction. How about that? That's one of my most favorite articles I've read all year, and it's pretty well to the point. I wish they had another 9 or 10 myths, because the longer they go with myths, the better they get and the stupider they get. So anyway, there's your GMO deal. Because anyway, I know some people that love seedless watermelons. And all I can tell you is, if you love them and you care about your health, keep eating them. They're GMO. They had to be changed. However, how do you think they grow a seedless watermelon? So anyway, all right. So anyway, that's all I got today for you today. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City, Oklahoma, and Sarah, Oklahoma. You guys have a great day, and God bless.